in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
What an absolutely electric, enjoyable, exciting summer it has been for the Milwaukee Brewers. Team is off today, won yesterday. People were getting a little nervous because they dropped some of these games in the last few series and maybe, oh no, panic. You know, they got these injuries and stuff. I'm not panicking. It's a great team. Gabe, what did you say in the latest grades that were given out for Major League Baseball teams, the Brewers? Who was the article from and what did they get?
So ESPN.com, David Schoenfield gave full 2025 regular season grades for all 30 MLB teams. Three teams got a letter that started with an A, and only one team had a grade that was not a minus behind it. And that is your Milwaukee Brewers.
Straight A. Hard A for what the Brewers have done this season. Now, you know they've won 96 games. One more win would set the franchise record. They obviously have this series against the Reds at AmFam this weekend. Again, off today, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But I don't know if I can remember, and I know I've said this during the year, and people have pushed back on me, a time where I have been this excited about a postseason run. And I don't know exactly if it's because they have been so good for so long, if it's because they put together several double-digit win streaks during the season, if it's that they are this upstart team, if it's that, you know, Murphy's coming off of a Manager of the Year campaign and, oh, will probably likely win it again this year because of what he has done, if it's a combination of all of those things. But I am so jacked. I am so excited. Went out and bought tickets to all of the games for the NLDS, for your Milwaukee Brewers, just to be a part of this run. Are you feeling the same way? Are you as, like, invested in this playoff run as I am?
I think the answer is pretty simple. Well, first of all, yes, of course. But the answer to why there's excitement around this team more than what we've had before, because it felt like before, and we've seen this. I mean, it happened with a Diamondbacks team that beat the Brewers and was able to make it to the World Series. They beat they lost to a Rangers team that won the World Series that year, where it's like, oh, okay, this is baseball. You know, anything can happen. This team is different because they're undisputedly the best team in baseball. They're one win away from securing that, or even one loss. Like, that could even happen before they take the field on Friday. If the Phillies lose today, the Brewers clinch the best record in baseball, and none of these games end up ultimately meaning anything for the Brewers against the Reds. But their run differential easily leads the majors. Like, it's not like, oh man, how did the Brewers do this? No, you look at all of the stats, and it adds up. Oh yeah, look at the pitching, look at the bullpen, look at that offense, the way that they put pressure on other teams. Yeah, they don't hit the ball out of the ballpark at the same rate as, like, the Yankees do, but they still score runs at an incredible rate. They prevent runs at an incredible rate. This Brewers team is one of the best teams in baseball, and it's, to me, undisputed. Like, you feel really good about this team because, well, they've been the best Brewers team that we've seen. To relate it back to football, it goes from feeling great about trying to make a Super Bowl when they're the one seed with Aaron Rodgers in 2020 and 2021 versus, yeah, they're the seventh seed. Maybe they can be that, you know, that upstart team that makes this unbelievable run. Maybe they can be that team that nobody wants to face. The Brewers are a team that nobody wants to face because they're the best. They're the best team in baseball, and that makes them dangerous. And that's why I feel everybody feels different about this team, because it's just undisputed. This is the best team in baseball.
So ESPN.com put out an article called the basically pressure meter. How much pressure is on each team that will be in the postseason to win a World Series? And according to the pressure index, which takes a bunch of things into account, the Brewers are under the most pressure. And they talk about, again, the drought, that we still talk about the 82 team. They talk about how they obviously have had this record and been one of the top teams and all of that stuff. I got to be honest with you. I understand that there is pressure, but we always talk about preparation when it comes to pressure, right? Pressure is a privilege, but also if you're prepared, that pressure sort of starts to go away. I feel like this team is so prepared for this moment. And again, a lot of that credit goes to Mark Murphy. God bless America. A lot of that pressure goes to Pat Murphy. Yeah, whomst among us hasn't said Mark Murphy when we mean Pat Murphy. But there also is this idea of, Headed into the season, nobody expected this from this team. And all they have done at every turn is prove all of the pundits wrong, prove all of the baseball analysts wrong. And now, I got to tell you, I'm listening to ESPN Radio last night, and they're talking about all these teams. They're talking about the Reds, and they're talking about the Yankees, and they're talking about the Tigers collapse and all this stuff. And I kept waiting. I kept waiting for somebody to mention the Milwaukee Brewers, and they never did. It still sort of feels like, Gabe, even though they have the best record in baseball, even though they have been the best for the duration of the season, they're still getting ignored.
Yeah, no,
which I'm fine with, if that makes any sense.
The Brewers don't have the most pressure. It's clearly the Yankees, because there are Yankee fans out there that think that Aaron Judge can't be an all-time great unless the Yankees win a World Series with him. So to me, that if that exists out there with Aaron Judge about to win yet another MVP over in the American League, like the most pressure to me is ultimately going to be on the Yankees. For the Brewers, as you mentioned, they continue to fly under the radar. They're the best team in baseball. They're going to have the best record in the National League. They're going to have home field advantage throughout the postseason. They're going to get every advantage that they earn throughout the course of the regular season. And because it still is largely ignored from a national perspective, how can there be the most pressure on the Brewers? How could that team potentially have the most pressure? And again, that's not to say that there aren't concerns, right? The injuries to the pitching staff, I'm gutted for Woody. I mean, who knows what the hell they're going to do for a third starter, much less a fourth starter, once we, you know, need one if the Brewers get to an NLCS. But no, this team, and just the way that they play, you know they're going to grind out at bats. I just don't feel like the moment is going to get to them, and they're just going to continue to play their style, their game, and it's just a great style to have. Great pitching, great defense, consistently putting pressure on other teams once you're on the base paths. Heck, we saw it yesterday when Jackson Churio singles, steals second base right away. There's two outs. Yeah, give up a two-out single. Who cares? But he gets to second base, and then Bryce Terang drives him in, giving the Brewers a 2-1 lead in a game in which they ultimately win 3-1. That type of pressure, once you get, because it's team speed. I mean, other than like William Contreras, everybody else that they're going to start in their typical lineup in any given playoff game is a threat to steal a base. And that type of pressure can wear on the other team. That's what I'm excited to see, because they're going to consistently be the ones applying pressure to the Padres, Cubs, whomever it ends up being in that divisional series.
And I also think there's something psychological here that is not being talked about enough. When you talk about worrying about what has happened in the past, or finding yourself in a similar situation to what you've experienced in the past, you sort of tap into that, oh, this feels familiar, oh no, and then you sort of start to down spiral a little bit, right? This roster is so vastly different than the guys who have been on those previous year rosters, whether it be the 2023, whether it be the 2024. Are there holdovers? Yes. Are there guys who you've seen from year to year? Yes. But for the most part, this is all new to them. Now, you could make the argument that because it's new, you know, oh, they're not going to be experienced. They're not going to be able to handle the pressure of the situation because they haven't been there before. But I would argue they don't know what they don't know. They don't know that team last year, you know, fell the way that it did. They don't know that the team the year before. So they don't have that history, that scar tissue, if you will, that I think fans do. Fans have scar tissue. Some of these players, though.
I think it's a good mixture. I think it's a good mixture, because I think you want guys that still have some of that experience. I mean, Christian Yelich obviously has been here, seen it all. I mean, Churio was a part of that. Yeah, Bryce.
Christian Yelich definitely has scar tissue.
Yeah, but
physically
again,
and emotionally,
just,
I believe.
Just everything. But it's a good mixture of, hey, you've got some playoff veterans that are going to be able to help, you know, again, guide some of these younger players like Caleb Durbin, like Isaac Collins, if he's going to be getting those opportunities to kind of guide those guys through these situations. I have all the confidence in the world in Freddie taking that ball in game one. And obviously, and honestly, with Quinn Priester, it's going to be his first postseason start in game two. I'm assuming he starts game two. But I have no doubt that he's just going to be able to fill up the strike zone, because that's what the guy does. That's what the Brewers have just pounded into his head, and why he's been such a successful rookie for this team. Like, there's still enough, you know, again, I like it because it's a good mixture of guys who have been there, done that, seen it, but also can kind of guide those rookies through these moments.
All Brewers Talk here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, is brought to you by the Neurospine Center of Wisconsin. The Brewers are unconditionally relentless this year. I want to put this on the poll, because I do think that it is interesting that ESPN.com said that they have the most pressure Do you believe that the Milwaukee Brewers have the most pressure of any of the other teams in the postseason? Let us know. 800-990-3776. Again, I go back to them being a young team. I go back to them not knowing what they don't know. I go back to not having as much scar tissue as the fan base has as a whole. I think fans remember the unceremonious exits. I think fans remember, you know, the way that it felt. Some of these guys, they don't know. They don't have that hanging over their head, adding to the pressure. 800-990-3776. Let us know. Fall in Wisconsin is, of course, special. You got the cool nights, game days, apple orchards, pumpkin patches, and it is one of the best times to sell your home. Fewer homes are on the market, so buyers are motivated. That gives you the advantage. Instead of waiting for a spring rush, you can close on your home before the first snowfall. The We Sell Group knows how to do this and put you in the driver's seat. They've helped countless Wisconsin families move forward, and they are ready to do the same for you. Get your fall home sale started with Rob and Nick today at the We Sell Group's website, wesell.kw.com, wesell.kw.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Is it against the law to be a moron or not?
The law,
not yet.
I texted this to Jen earlier. The law does protect some people from things that are called an attractive nuisance.
On 94.5 ESPN.
During college football season, I am always on the go, and I trust Accutrans for my private transportation needs. Whether I'm traveling for football or headed to Lambeau for green and gold action, I make the ride stress-free with the Accutrans group. At Good Karma Brands and ESPN Milwaukee, we count on Accutrans to get our partners to and from Green Bay first class every single time. They've got professional drivers, reliable pickups, zero parking hassles, and your game day fun starts the moment you step on board. Book your ride now at AccutransGroup.com. Come and enjoy the ride.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh?
One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey?
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Oh, my God.
Show me chicken.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, Gabe, what do we got today?
List 8 things in front of me. You and Joshy guess back and forth. Once you each get one incorrect, then we open it up to the fans. 800-990-3776. Whoever gets the last one on the list gets an ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. Cowboys defense is stinky. Pass defense specifically has been pretty bad. So I am looking at a list that has 8 names on it. Since 1992, kind of the modern era of Packers football, where Brett Favre took over as the starting quarterback, since 1992, 8 receivers or tight ends have caught multiple touchdown passes against the Cowboys. Name those 8 players. Receivers, tight ends, since 1992, have multiple touchdowns against the Cowboys. Regular season only.
Devontae?
Devontae Adams has 2 touchdown receptions against the Cowboys. He is number 4 on the list.
I seem to remember, feel like this is correct, a couple Jordy Nelson touchdowns.
Jordy also has 2. He is all the way down at number 8, also with 2. So there's a few with more than 2, but most of these people have just 2. So Jordy is also on the list. Devontae and Jordy are the first 2.
What about Aaron Jones? Did you say receivers?
Receivers and tight ends.
Okay, sorry, I just wanted to clarify.
Jen, listen.
So Aaron Jones, no, then.
That's what I guess.
What I was wondering is if it was catches as opposed to, but it's the position specific. So
we always get so semantically lost in this.
No, when you say we, you mean
yes. I was taking one for the team there and joining you.
Doing a little semantically lost yourself, weren't you? Jordy, Devontae. You think it's anybody that's currently on the team?
I was thinking there's a chance it's Romeo Doubs, but did he say regular season?
Regular season only.
Yeah. Semantics.
Yeah.
all of these details. So we got to go back before then.
I mean,
Greg Jennings?
Greg Jennings has two touchdowns against the Dallas Cowboys.
I don't have any specific memories of it, but Donald Driver was here a long time, caught a lot of passes. Donald Driver, Gabe?
Only had one touchdown against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, this is not going well. He did say tight ends, so is there
a tight end? Is there a Mark Chmura in here? And he snuck that one in, and it's a little Easter egg for us here with him not around.
Do we guess Mark Chmura?
I think we have to, and then leave it up to the fans.
Chewy.
Chewy caught three touchdown passes against the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
So he is on the list.
How many do we have? Four?
So you have Chewy, who has three touchdowns against them, and then you have Devontae, Jennings, and Jordy. So you have half the list.
Do you think there's any chance Christian Watson is on this list?
Oh, wait. Did he have two in one game?
Shrug. I don't know.
Remember as a rookie, and I'm trying to remember, and he had that streak of touchdowns. Did that come at the behest of the Cowboys in one of those? And was it multiple? Because he scored multiple in, I think, two or three games that season, didn't he?
Do you have a better guess at this point?
Yes.
Okay, give a better guess then.
Well,
we can hold
I'm out, but I was thinking...
I thought we were a tag team in this
thing. I was thinking Aaron Rodgers' best buddy.
I thought it was Devontae Adams.
No, I'm talking like real best buddy.
Randall Cobb.
Yeah, has a house next to him, but...
All right, we'll say Randall Cobb.
Randall Cobb, only one touchdown against the Dallas Cowboys.
800-990-3776. We are opening it up to our loyal listeners. Gabe, reset the list.
So since 1992, eight wide receivers or tight ends have caught multiple touchdowns against the Cowboys in the regular season. Who are those eight? Of the eight, Joshie and Jen got four. They got Chewy, they got Devontae Adams, they got Greg Jennings, and Jordy Nelson.
800-990-3776. Let's go out to John in Milwaukee. John, you're up first on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8-8 list?
How about Jimmy Graham?
Jimmy Graham did not have any touchdowns against the Dallas Cowboys.
800-990-3776. Looking for callers to play top 8-8. We only have four players.
Just hung up on one of the callers.
Attaboy.
Call back, John.
You hung up on someone?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I wonder if Chewy's the last one on the list. I mean, he said since 1992. Again, just I don't know that to be true. Gabe's got the list in front of him. I do not. You guys are like, duh. Josh is fielding calls. Let's go out to Ben in Milwaukee. Ben, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8-8 list?
What about Sterling Sharp?
Sterling Sharp, the Hall of Famer. Four touchdowns against the Dallas Cowboys. That is the most in this time frame.
Okay. All right. You want to keep going, Ben?
Bubba Franks.
Bubba Franks only had one touchdown against the Dallas Cowboys.
800-990-3776. I was just going to look up the list. I was just going to Google it and see so I could play along here. We are looking for three more because we got Sterling Sharp.
We're looking for three more. Yes, Sterling, Chewy are among the top half there. Sterling with four, Chewy with three, and then a bunch with just two. You guys got Devontae, you got Greg Jennings, and Jordy Nelson. So there are a couple with two and one with three.
I feel like Joshy is losing the battle with the phones this morning. I've seen a couple names pop up and then drop off, so I don't know if they're hanging up or Josh is hanging up, but we got Jared and Omro up next. Oh, yeah, there's the other guy again. He's back. Let's go out to Jared. Good morning. Can you complete our top 8-8 list?
Was Christian Watson guessed yet?
So not only did Christian Watson have two, he had three touchdowns against the Dallas Cowboys as a rookie. Christian Watson tied with Chewy at number two on this list.
Oh, why is that funny?
I was there. Scared off of it.
Oh, I thought you meant you were there at the game. I was like, no. That makes it way worse.
No, I would have remembered that.
All right, Jared, you can keep going.
We'll try Antonio Freeman.
Hulu Duck Free had two touchdowns against the Dallas Cowboys as well. There is just one name left on the list.
We'll try Sterling.
Well, Sterling was already guessed. He is number one on the list. He had four touchdowns, so you get to go again. While you think, let me reset the list. I'll reset the list for you. Mm-hmm. Sterling Sharp was one with four. Mark Chmura and Christian Watson both had three. Then everybody else just had two. Devontae, Free, Jennings, and Jordy Nelson. Again, since 1992, Packers receivers and tight ends with multiple touchdowns against the Dallas Cowboys.
James Jones?
James Jones is number the last one on the list. He caught two touchdown passes against the Cowboys.
Jared, you're our big winner this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy's top 8 at 8 list. I love that Chewy was on the list. I don't love that we were guessing Christian Watson, but then talked ourselves out of Christian Watson. But I do love that Jared is our big winner this morning. I mean, death, taxes, and us talking ourselves out of right answers here on top 8 at 8.
Kind of what you guys do. Circle around one name and then go, nah, let's not guess the one. That, by the way, more than surpassed the criteria. Had three.
We have done this before, by the way. When we have done like a battle of the sexes, Christmas time, Thanksgiving, whatever it is.
Oh, sure.
Boys are playing on a team. The girls are playing on a team. And it's like a trivia thing.
Yeah.
And Dario has marveled at our ability to have the right answer and talk ourselves out of the right answer, overthink the situation, and then answer it incorrectly.
So you haven't learned to just trust your instincts, is what you're trying to tell me?
No.
We're just guessing off of those correct answers.
Not yet. There's still time, though. Always looking for improvement. Milwaukee Brewers fans, if you want to hit a Potawatomi Sportsbook before a home game but need a ride to the game, hit two balls with one bat by hitching a ride on the Potawatomi Game Day Shuttle. Any purchase made in the Sportsbook or same-day sports bet will get you a wristband and a seat on the shuttle. They begin approximately an hour before first pitch, and then they run nonstop for 1 hour after the game. For more information, just visit Potawatomi.com. That's Potawatomi.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Just jump on it.
That's what he did.
Chewy, jump on it. Slow down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Events by Design, great new partner here at ESPN Milwaukee. I have seen all the different things that they can do, and they can help you throw a great party as well. If you want to boost culture with captivating corporate events like appreciation parties, brand activations, and more, I've seen them do the Buck Soiree. I've seen them help out with us. Again, big event, Buck Soiree. They helped out on our golf outing doing walk-up songs for everybody on the 14th tee, whether it's big, whether it's small. They're helping a company. I was just talking with our guy, Tori, yesterday, trying to help a company throw a big celebration of their company's history party that's going to be coming up in a handful of months. Whatever you're looking to do, Events by Design can help, and they're going to be able to help you with those fresh ideas. And again, their attention to detail when planning these things is impeccable. For over 25 years, Events by Design has helped companies execute successful events. Just search online, Events by Design. They design, you party.
Packers taking on the Dallas Cowboys this weekend in Sunday Night Football. Did I read correctly that this is the first time the Packers and Cowboys have met in Sunday Night Football in Dallas? I believe I saw that in the old dope sheet in the notes for this game. And Dallas is obviously struggling this season, coming in 1-2. But obviously one of the biggest storylines, and I saw him talking about it this morning on Get Up on the televisions above us here in the studio, is Micah Parsons going back to Dallas. I don't think there's any love lost between Jerry Jones and Micah Parsons. Now, Jerry will not be on the field, so it's not that clean of a equation. And he actually, Micah Parsons, talked about how difficult it's going to be to face his buddy, Dak Prescott. You know, and I think he used the word painful. My initial reaction was, oh, he means it's going to be painful when he takes down Dak Prescott. No, he was saying, like, it's going to be painful because he's got really good relationships with some of those people there. Let's take a listen to Micah Parsons on going back to Big D this weekend.
It's gonna be painful. You know what I mean? Dak's my guy. You know, he was always like a good mentor for me. But you know what it is. He always told me if I ever face him that, you know, it'll be a great matchup. So I'm excited to see what Sunday brings itself.
Micah Parsons over under, I believe, at our friend's Potawatomi Sportsbook is 1.5 sacks. Is that correct, Joshy?
No, that was just sort of a number we were tossing.
Oh, come on. Yeah. All right. 1.5 for us.
Yes.
I would be very curious what the over-under is for some of those sports books out there.
I would bet it's one, and you have to lay some money to get it at one. You don't typically see a 1.5 sack.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. See a half sack?
Yeah.
Then you so you're saying you think it's going to be one. We'll check on that, obviously. If I set it at 1.5, I'd still take the over. I think you've got a motivated Micah Parsons. I just keep thinking about that scene, Gabe, after the Thursday night football game where the fans were chanting, "Thank you, Jerry." And the look in Micah Parsons' eyes was something I'll never forget.
Yeah, he's appreciative to be a part of this fan base. And as painful as it's going to be to sack Dak Prescott, I think he is going to do it at least once. Now, the Cowboys, I'm sure, are also going to be devising a game plan where it's going to be a lot easier for guys like Lucas Van Ness, Rashawn Gary, to get a better run at the quarterback, because I'm sure Jerry's getting into Brian Schottenheimer's ear like, hey, we can't have Micah have a big game. Just can't let this happen. We just can't let this happen. You just got to make sure we block up Micah. If somebody else gets those sacks, somebody else gets those sacks. We've got to make sure Micah doesn't have a big game. Like, would anybody be shocked if this was what's happening down in Dallas?
I, for one, would be shocked if Jerry Jones took the time to meddle in the coach's business. That doesn't sound like something Jerry would do. But yes, I do think that there is a personal level to this, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, Jerry is going to look at it, this as the Thunderdome. It is going to be who walks away winning. Obviously, he would love to win the game, but he will convince himself that it was a win if the Dallas Cowboys are able to keep Micah Parsons in check. That's just how he's going to manipulate the data to come out to a win for him.
Yeah, and I mean, I've seen Micah Parsons triple teamed two separate times this season already, and not to discredit neither Lucas Van Ness, Devontae Wyatt, or Rashawn Gary, who've played well, some of the sacks they've gotten have been literally the direct result of Micah forcing the quarterback into them. 1.5 seems like a lot. I wouldn't, like, no one's going to be surprised. It's like, oh, he's got two. Yeah, of course, that's a possibility just because he's that special. But the interesting thing I saw was all four of the Packers pass rushers are towards the top in a double team rate. So basically what that's telling me is Micah Parsons is obviously the leader of that group, but they're so focused on stopping Micah, even if he's not on the field, the guy who's in Micah's spot is also getting the double team.
Well,
every play is going to have the consideration of how do we slow down Micah Parsons, even if he's not here.
But then we see the confusion set in when they move Micah around. And we saw that against the Browns. One of the plays that Belaga and I are going to be breaking down later today, as Belaga will be our cousin sub of the day on the old 22. One of Rashawn Gary's sacks literally had a free run at the quarterback. Like, there's all sorts of confusion, and they're like, okay, we got to make sure we block this guy. And then Rashawn Gary, who now leads the NFL in sacks, just got a free run right at Joe Flacco. There's nobody in front of him. Mm-hmm. So it's not even just he's occupying the space. He's occupying, you know, in the bodies. He's occupying the mind space of, oh, we got to make sure we get, oh, crap, we forgot about this guy. Oh, and there he goes, just getting a free run at our quarterback.
Quay Walker had the same exact thing happen against the Commanders. They slid the line to Micah Parsons, which was the weak side, so they had three guys for one person, and then Quay Walker just ran right past him, said, hey, look at this.
As one does, as one should. Did you see this other detail, though, about Micah Parsons, where he won't have trouble getting tickets for his crew on Sunday because he still has his suite at AT&T Stadium? Apparently, they would not give him his money back. Even though he got traded before the season, they were kind of like, a deal's a deal. And so he has had this suite at the Star, and I don't know if he's been selling it, if he's been giving it. I think he asked Kenny Clark if he wanted to buy it. Uh-huh. Like, hey, man, you need a suite? I got a suite.
I think he just would stock it with his friends and family that live in town with him. And then, yeah, they did the petty thing of, you left us, you already paid us, and we have no obligation to give you the money. Like, do we really think the Dallas Cowboys have a hard time selling suites?
No.
I can't imagine.
No. I really don't. Yeah, but again, it was just one last petty thing for Jerry to do as Micah went off the door, because, again, this whole thing became personal.
Uh-huh.
This was not professional. It all became personal between Jerry and Micah.
Yeah, and again, to your point, this is great evidence of that, because I guarantee the list of people who want a suite for the Dallas Cowboys is long. I guarantee they could have called two people and they would have been able to fill that suite and just give Micah his money back. But it's nice that you don't have to worry about that. It's nice that, you know, when you're going down there this weekend, you know exactly where you'll be sitting. You know exactly, you know, the path. You know, all, you know, it's all just old hat.
Why wouldn't they just give him his money back? Why would you want that bad press to come out? Because you know eventually it was coming out because you knew this game was on the schedule.
Because Jerry is taking it personal and is getting every last win. Well, yes, he demanded his way out, but guess what? I got his money, too.
But it's a loss in the PR battle.
It is.
Although Jerry's taking so many of those, he just doesn't care.
But remember, he's the guy who's like, if you're talking about us, it's a win. Yes.
Every loss is a win for him, as long as the Cowboys are part of the conversation.
Micah Parsons saying that suite will be packed, of course. The hope, of course, is that the Green Bay Packers leave with a victory. But yes, I do think that Jerry Jones is going to do whatever he can to manipulate the data to walk away with a win. And if that means holding Micah Parsons to half a sack, one sack, he's going to be like, well, we did good. We done good. Even if they end up losing the game.
I'm expecting the Packers to go down there. And Adam said it on Wednesday. I would not be one of the team, want to be the team facing the Packers this week because they're looking to bounce back. And then you sprinkle in the additional motivation. I know Micah said it's just another game. I know that he's just saying that. I think that's obvious. We know how much Dallas means to him. We know how much he was hurt by going back to the Cowboys before the deal was done. Hey, let's work something out. I want to be here. Well, either you play on your deal or that's it, or leave. All right, I guess you guys don't want me. I'm out of here. We know how he was hurt by that. And he's going to have that extra motivation. And I think his teammates are going to want to pick him up too. This should be a fun game on Sunday night. I'm looking forward to having a little bit of fun.
Is it a get-right game? I mean, isn't that wild to think about going against the Dallas Cowboys as a get-right game?
Well, when your defense is that bad.
Yes. Yeah.
I am a little suspicious, and I don't want us to get too disappointed if we see a 24-27-10 victory. I do think there is a little incentive of, hey, let's just go dominate. Let's go win a game. There's no incentive to drive the score up. We got a bye week. Like, let's just go win.
Oh, if it's 27-10, I'm not disappointed. If anything, if you win by two touchdowns or more, it's hard to be disappointed. It's not like they are, because the Bills are like 15.5-point favorites this week against the Saints. The Packers are 6.5.
Oh, I saw 7 last check.
But maybe it's up to 7. But either way, it's a touchdown, right? So if they win by a touchdown, that's what Vegas is expecting. So you get to 10 or 14. It's hard to be disappointed.
I just think after seeing the Bears score so many points and the Giants score so many points, people are thinking, well, the Packers should go and score 30-plus, 40-plus.
Again,
I wouldn't hate it, to be honest.
I wouldn't begrudge Matt LaFleur for sticking it to him. I just think I'm a little suspicious with the health of the offensive line and just trying to be fundamentally sound and get going the right direction.
Again, given how they made Russell Wilson, again, the dude's been watched for 3 years. They allowed him to throw for a career high, and then they allowed Caleb Williams to look like Joe Montana. Uh-huh. I understand why the expectations would be high to have Jordan Love, who is significantly better than both those quarterbacks, to look that good against that terrible
defense.
That
is going to require Jordan to play within himself, to not get so excited about the opportunity to put up monster numbers, to not get so excited about the opportunity to prove to people that he can be the guy. Just play within yourself. Take what the defense gives you. Just, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't do the thing, Jordan, where you get all excited and then you throw a stupid pick. Or you get all excited and you make a dumb play. Like, yes, the opportunity is there to put up a 40 burger. It's there. But I just want him to just play within the constraints of the game and not try to do too much. That's what I'd like to see from Jordan Love over the next few weeks of the season. Take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot more to get to, and we are running out of time. I want to tell you about my friends over at Closets by Design. I met with Doug and his team in Mequon for the past few months, and they helped me design a warm, incredible space for my closet. And I've told you guys this. I have a lot of clothes. This happens when you work in television for 25 years. Problem is, all of that clothes, all of that clutter, all of that chaos was starting to affect my mental health. Literally, the anxiety when I would walk into my closet, I said, I got to get organized, man. I got to get some of this stuff out of here. So I made some trips to Goodwill, sold some stuff, and Doug and his team helped me create a space that I feel proud of, that I am comfortable in. And if you find yourself walking into certain spots of your house going, wow, this is a lot, I need some help, call my friends over at Closet by Design. No obligation, in-home consultations, custom designs, and the best value in the industry. And it doesn't have to be a closet. You got a pantry, you got a mudroom, you got an area that you're just like, we could use some organizational help. Closets by Design can handle it. Tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you when you call my friends at Closets by Design.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But remember he said his birthday?
Yeah.
Maybe we get a little freaky.
Yeah. Like it's, and everyone's like, oh, look at our horny little boy. We're so good for him. Like everybody's so supportive of Giannis, they just kind of look past it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
This is a message from BetterHelp. Do you guys find yourself struggling at times? I know I do. Certain things just overwhelm me. And when they do, I turn to therapy. I call up my therapist. We have a conversation. She helps me navigate, untie some of the knots that life has created. If you find yourself in that situation, I cannot recommend therapy enough. And BetterHelp wants to help. 30,000 therapists, the world's largest online therapy platform. They've served more than 5 million people locally. Look, you do everything else online, don't you? Why not try online therapy? It's convenient as well. You can join a session with the click of a button. It fits into your busy life. And let's just say that you don't have a great fit initially. You can switch therapists at any time. Help is available with BetterHelp. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/timeout. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/timeout. Gabe, you never know what people are going to fixate on during a show, right?
Okay.
We've talked about a lot of different things, but I have a number of people on the Carbless Talk and Text line, 800-990-3776, and in the YouTube stream asking me about this.
Oh, your thumb?
About this thumb. This thumb that I've got all mummified, that I've got all bandaged up.
I thought they were going to be fixated on your dinner choice last night while driving back from Michigan. I thought that was what you were about to bring up, that they were going to be obsessed with that.
Now that you mentioned that, remember earlier during Top 8 at 8 when you were talking about me trusting my gut, trusting my instincts?
Yes.
Our friend Ron in the Key reminds us that my instincts have me driving 5 to 6 hours around the lake while eating food with a fork instead of flying, so maybe I shouldn't be trusting my instincts. Maybe, you know, maybe the writing is on the wall there. No, this thumb, I have my thumb all bandaged up. You can see it on the YouTube stream if you're watching it. It was way worse a couple days ago. I reached into the garbage can to throw a paper plate away, and there was a dog food can, the lid, and it just sliced the ever-living bleep out of me. I mean, just like flap of skin type of thing.
Oh.
As I'm walking out the door to go to the airport on Tuesday morning, I did not have time to doctor it the way that I should have. So I just sort of ran it under some running water and threw some Neosporin on it. And then I took a paper towel and some packing tape, you know, the clear stuff that you use at FedEx. And I just wrapped that around. I was like, this will have to do until I get to a spot where I can fix it. So,
did anybody at the airport ask as you're going through security?
Yo, what are you hiding under there? What do you got stashed underneath that thumb? No, but it has healed. It's gotten better. But, you know, people have been asking about the Band-Aid and what's going on there. So I appreciate, like, I mean, it's such a janky, ratchet Band-Aid job.
Yeah, what are you doing? It's like falling off. You can replace that. You know that, right?
Well, if I didn't pee this morning, Gabe. I'll tell you what I definitely didn't have time to do, and that's Doogie Howser, my thumb over here.
Again, it's just a new bandage. It takes 45 seconds.
It is only week 5 of the college football season. I don't know if I'm going to make it, guys. You know, the way things are going so far.
I mean, we only have until the middle of January.
Over under. 2 weeks before Jed absolutely has a mental breakdown. But you said it at 6 right now?
I was about to say, I was 7.5, you know.
I'll tell you what, we're closing in on it, that's for sure. Will Dantosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great day, everybody.